Well, good morning, church. Good to see you all here this morning. I want to say thank you for the wonderful welcome that we have received here. It's just been really humbling. It's been fantastic. My wife and I have enjoyed all the wonderful meals and just the fellowship and the encouragement. And I know she loved the flowers that she received, and the list just goes on and on. It's been really, really fantastic. So thank you for welcoming us into your family, into your fold, and it's truly a blessing. Well, if we haven't met, I apologize. We're trying to get around to everyone and say hello and say who we are. And it truly is a blessing to get to know those who we already have met. But those who haven't met us yet, just give us some time. We're working on it, okay? And again, it's good to see you all here this morning. Let's unite our hearts in prayer and we'll get into God's word. Father God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, speak to us this morning, we pray. Let your spirit move upon this congregation. Lord, thank you for the words, Lord, that you've given me. And Lord, I pray that the words spoken are yours and not mine. We love you, Lord, and we give this time to you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, to start today, we are living in a day and age, truly, where the courage for our faith is so important. Amen? We're living in a day and age where people are telling us to be quiet, not speak up for our faith. Well, after today, I hope that you will never do that again. You know, courage in the face of adversity, courage in the face of persecution, courage in the face of trials, courage in the face of sickness, courage in the face of loneliness, and courage to live a Christ-centered life in a sin-sick world. Truly, that's what we are living in today, is a sin-sick world. And we have to have courage as believers in Jesus Christ to share our faith, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell people about the change that he has made in our hearts and our lives. The title of today's message is this: God has called you to be courageous. You know, I've been praying for this message for quite a few weeks now. And God kept laying this on my heart: courage, Curtis, courage, courage, write this. And then last Sunday, he woke me up at about 3:30 in the morning. I'm up pretty early. But he woke me up and he said, start writing, which I did. And I wrote a good portion of this message last Sunday morning, even before we joined you all in church that morning. What is biblical courage? Well, here's a quote I found. I want to read it to you today. God derives strength of the soul that empowers believers to act righteously and with steadfastness in the face of fear, danger, and adversity. It is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to act in faith and obedience to God's will, relying on his strength rather than one's own abilities. Is there examples in the Bible of courage, biblical courage? Well, I'm going to name a few here this morning. Despite ridicule and mocking, Noah was called to build an ark in order to prepare for the world that was about to be flooded, in a world that was never flooded. Abraham was called to leave his home and family in the Ur of Chaldees to go to an unknown land. Joseph was called to stand up for integrity, for righteousness. Jacob and his family were called to go to a pagan country, Egypt, in the height of terrible drought. Moses was courageously called to stand up to Pharaoh and to demand to let his people go. Queen Esther was courageously called to stand up for her people and confront her husband, the king, and his right-hand man. Ruth, the Moabitess, was called to a people in a land that was not her own. David, being filled with the Spirit of God, was filled with courage. And with that courage, he slayed the giant Goliath. Daniel was called to stand up for his God and his faith in a wicked and pagan nation. Jeremiah was called to tell his sin-sick Israelite people to repent and to turn back to the one true God. Gideon was called to be courageous and lead the charge to stand up to the Midianites. My list is going on. I got a few more for you. The Apostle Paul, he was called to the Gentile pagan nations of the known world to preach the gospel to them. Despite persecution, despite hatred, the apostles were also called into the known world to preach Jesus. As they stared down trials and tribulations and persecutions, they did it fearlessly, many of them, unto death. The Puritans fled Christian persecution and courageously left their families and friends and lands and went to a world, a new world, in hopes to establish a Christian nation under God. What is truly amazing is that the most memorable stories in the Bible, you can find courage in every single one of them. We teach our children about courage, but are we living courage? Are we living courageously in front of them, our grandkids? Billy Graham said, "Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened." Let's take a moment and dig in to what a courageous man looks like. Joshua was called to be a courageous man and called to lead his people into the promised land of Canaan. That was filled with strong people, fortified cities, and even giants. Study it for yourself. Numbers 13, 1-3 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them.'" Verse 3, "So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel." So out of the 12 mentioned, I want to concentrate on a couple here. And these two are found in Numbers 13, 6. And you skipped 8, and then you skip again to 13, 16. I want to read that to you. "From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun." Then you skip to 16. It says this: "These were the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua." So we have these two men that really stick out, and that's Caleb and Joshua. The reason why I single out Caleb and Joshua in these verses is because out of the 12 sent, only Caleb and Joshua gave an encouraging report about the conquering of the strong people, the strong men, the giants, the fortified cities. They were the only two out of the 12 that decided to stand up and be courageous. Here is an interesting note on this. In the original Hebrew, Caleb's name means faithful, wholehearted, bold. And how do you like this one? Dog-like. Do you ever have a dog nipping at you that just never stops? You know that dog that is always at you? You're slapping it away, it keeps on coming back. Well, this means that. And then all of a sudden, you come across the name of Joshua, and his name means Yahweh is salvation, and God is salvation and deliverance. So you take these two men, their two names, they really stand out, because when you think of Caleb, he was bold, faithful, and wholehearted. He was that messenger, and Joshua means salvation and deliverer. So here these two men were going to take the lead and say, let's go into this land, let's go after these people, and let's conquer and do what God has commanded us to do. This is where it kind of goes a little bit south. In Numbers 32:12, tells us of Caleb and Joshua, like I said, were the only two that faithfully followed the Lord. But the other two, now listen to this, did evil in the sight of God. The Bible says, then God did what God does best with people that are disobedient and discouragers of the brethren. And this is what he did. He sends them out into the wilderness, and in this case, to die. Here you go. Off you go. To die. Literally. And yet, you would not believe how many people, you know, I have seen that have chose this. They chose the wilderness in their life. I have seen so many people in my years of ministry that have truly chose the wilderness instead of choosing God, choosing His Word, choosing Jesus, His salvation, and the list goes on and on. Brothers and sisters, beware of making God angry. Numbers 32:13 says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all the generations that had done evil in the sight of the Lord were gone. They were wiped out. They did evil, and they were wiped out. Then we hit the book of Deuteronomy, and God uses Moses to prepare a leader. Do you hear that? To prepare a leader. And this is a beautiful little portion of scripture because it's really a blessing that has been given to Joshua by the lead who is Moses, the leader who is Moses. In Deuteronomy 31:78 says this, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. Beautiful words, amen. For you shall go with the people into the land that the Lord has shown to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. Verse 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So 40 years have passed, and everyone who opposed God, Moses, Caleb, and Joshua are now gone. They're dead. Now it is time for God to get to work, to use these people who he called forward. God calls Joshua to the forefront of leadership because Moses is now dead, and God says these words that have truly, truly echoed through the ages. And my sister read them this morning, but I'm going to read them again because I want them to penetrate your heart here this morning. The power is in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Joshua 1:6-9 says this, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your what? Your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And them are blessed words, amen? Blessed promises from God. John Gill said this, be strong and of good courage. This is repeated multiple times because greatness, strength of mind, valor, and courage are all things a great leader will exhibit. And that is why Joshua here was called forward to be that leader. You see, when I was reading through different commentaries, different Bible teachers, I came across David Jeremiah. And he said this, we can face whatever circumstances await us with courage if we just reflect on God's faithfulness and place our confidence in his great power and loving purpose for our lives. Joshua was probably thinking, Lord, I've been ready for 40 years. 40 years I've been ready. I've been waiting to occupy the land, to kill the strong men, the giants, the inhabitants of the fortified cities. I've been waiting 40 years for this. Lord, let me at him. Let me at him. Why do I tell you this story about Joshua this morning? This is a question. And it's a good question. I tell you this because courage is not only standing up to strong people, giants, fortified cities. It is standing up for what is right. It is standing up against wicked worldly agendas. It is standing up to cultures and lies and agendas of Satan and his demons. It is standing up for the name of Jesus Christ, who is the author of courage. It is standing up when no one else is standing up. It's being that person of courage. I know that many of you have heard this quote already from Charlie Kirk, but I want to quote it this morning. And he was asked this question, how do you want to be remembered? His answer was this, I want to be remembered for courage and my faith. Put the politics aside, wherever you stand, let me read it again. I want to be remembered for courage in my faith. I want to be remembered that way too. I want to be remembered that way too. So Christians, what do we do with this message today? For those of you struggling with courage to confront your adversaries' issues, problems, sins, and even setbacks, well, let's take a moment. Let's read a few verses that I hope encourage you today and penetrate your hearts. It's found in Psalm 27, 1-3, and it says these words, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. What is any better than them promises? Paul, who is no stranger to courage, said this in the pastoral epistles to Timothy. Timothy, he called him his dear son. And this is what he said to encourage him, to build him up in the Lord, to get him ready for the battle at hand. This is what he said in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. This world is telling born-again believers, men and women alike, to excuse this phrase, but I'm going to say it anyway, sit down and shut up. That's what the world is telling us to do as believers. Well, I want to challenge you with this today. Stand up and speak out. Speak out for your faith. Speak out for what is right and what is true and what is honorable before God. Don't shy away from the hard conversations. Walk right into them. We need to do that as believers to engage this culture and this generation. The Bible says this in Ephesians 6, 10 to 11. And this is talking about the armor of God. And just remember this here today. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All them things that the devil wants to throw against you, be ready. And here's how you get ready. Put on the full armor of God. We can only do that if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible makes it clear that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Him. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, amen? And the power we receive is given to us upon salvation through the Spirit of God that lives in us. Now listen to this, and through us. To close today, worship team, work your way up. I want to end this with a famous quote that I know many of you know. It's from Edmund Burke. And he said this, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And may I add, good men and women to do nothing and say nothing. Christians, speak up. Speak out for your faith. This community needs Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. We are the witnesses that God has chosen for this generation, this community, to be that light in the darkness. This church is the lighthouse. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I want to leave them with this. On the hill of Golgotha, over 2,000 years ago, there were three crosses. The one in the center was Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Lord. And the other two were thieves. One of them said, they both mocked, started off mocking, and then finally one came to their senses and said, "Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom." And Jesus said these words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That thief did not get down off that cross and do a whole bunch of things to earn his salvation. He just simply believed. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here that has not believed in you, I ask them this question, is today the day of salvation? We cannot go to heaven without you, Jesus. We cannot go to heaven without your sacrifice for our sins, Lord. We love you, Jesus, and we're so thankful for all you've done in our lives. Lord, we give this service time to you. We give this day to you. Lord, help us to be courageous. Help us to be witnesses for you. Help us to stand up to what is evil, what is wrong in this world. Lord, use us for your glory, your honor, and your praise. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. And I hope to see you at the potluck, because I love to eat too.